Blog Talk Radio.
Are you tired of washing dishes? Well, flip the way you clean them. Introducing Dawn Platinum Easy Squeeze. It's a new upside-down bottle with no cap. You just grab and squeeze. Platinum's upgraded, more powerful formula breaks down and removes grease 4 times faster. Huh, nice. No flip, no mess. Platinum is also a go-to grease cleaner for your sink, your countertops, and a pre-treat stains on laundry. Faster, easier, new Dawn Platinum Easy Squeeze. Flip the way you cleaned it.
Father, help your children, and don't let them fall by the side of the road. Resistance to love one another, that every might find a place in their hearts. 'Cause Jesus is love. He won't let you down. And I know
Dr. Chinchilla Donesia, the commissioner of WBNN. For those of you that have been having trouble tuning into WBNN's programming due to phone service provider issues with Metro, T-Mobile, or Cricket, I have a solution for you. Go to the Google Play Store or the Apple Play Store, download the Text Now app onto your cell phone, choose a phone number, and then you will be able to tune into all of WBNN's programming. I am the Honorable Dr. Chinchilla J.
This is a product of WBNN. This is Trenton Makes Show. I'm your host, Ricardo Richard, on air now from Lagos, Nigeria, dialing 516-453-9133. Press 1 to join the conversation, brought to you by Ngozi Time Multimedia. Welcome, everybody, to my show. Whenever I get, you know, I always tell you guys, whenever I get a chance to do this, I just feel so blessed and I feel so honored. Whenever I start off my shows, of course, I let everybody know that, I mean, I feel like this show is just like any show is important, but it's my last show of the year. So I just definitely want to do my best, and I'm so excited to have along, you know, my spiritual brother, DeAndre, with me. But I just want to say that I just want to tell anybody out there, before I have DeAndre come on, if anybody ever felt like giving up, you know, to keep going, I've had a trying year, I would say I had a trying last couple of years. And I think that, you know, whenever I do my shows, I always give glory to God, and I always want to let anybody know that's listening that, you know, Jesus is, he's the Savior, and he died for you, and he wants a relationship with you, and God loves you. And I feel like the things that we go through in life, and even sometimes our own overthinking, is a battlefield in the mind. That's why I believe it's so important to, you know, take care of your mental health. And you do that by, you know, talking to somebody. I always recommend counseling and journaling. And also, of course, like I said, having a relationship with God and being accountable to somebody other than yourself. Don't deny the assembly. You know, being with going to church is important. And just having your heart set on him. I feel like with my shows, I like to be honest. So like I said, if I can get on the show and talk about the goodness of God, I could get on the show and talk about my vulnerability. So I feel like I had a trying week, and I was going to wait like a couple months to kind of talk about it. But I had a real, the last couple of months, I had got promoted to be a teacher. And it was very, very, I would say, a very overwhelming experience for me, something that was so exciting for me to finally be able to give back and do something and be the only male teacher in the whole school was overwhelming. And I had anxiety and fear and, you know, being a co-teacher versus actually leading the whole classroom was a lot. So, I decided this last couple of days, you know, last week, I decided to kind of drop down. And over the weekend, my supervisors and everything didn't reach back out to me. So I didn't know if that was going to happen. And, you know, I got a conversation. I had a meeting today where they accepted my proposal. And it was hard for me, you know, because I had made a promise to God that I would do it. But, and I'm not telling anybody, you know, to do whatever I did, but I struggle because there is a side of me that says, you know, to keep going no matter how hard it is. God is with you, so just keep going. But this situation, it started affecting, you know, I would say my mental health, and I just was leaving work stressed out, and I started questioning, you know, whether I should even, did I even want to still teach? I just felt overwhelmed and definitely taken advantage of. I had, you know, it was hard. I had autistic children. I was just really unqualified. So my job, they told me it was going to be one thing, and then it was actually another thing. So I think what it also taught me was to stand up for myself, that is important, that being a Christian doesn't mean, if somebody told me this, doesn't mean that I can allow people to just walk all over me. So I took it because I thought that God was in it. And I thought if it's hard and if it's fear, then I should do it. And I know God was in it, but I'm still trying to figure it out. Did I make the right decision? So I say all that to say, again, that just don't give up. And sometimes even when you have to take a step back, you know, with certain things, don't be too hard on yourself. Sometimes I'm very hard on myself about things. So I just, again, I just want to tell y'all, you know, don't give up and stay focused and be around people that's going to uplift you and inspire you to be the best version of yourself. And life is just so short, not to be happy. And I just, and I'm not saying you're going to always be happy at what you do, but I definitely was going to work every day, and I was dreading something that I had loved to do. So I had to take a step back, and I'm still going to be teaching, but just at a lesser capacity. And I feel like I had to do that for me. And I definitely feel like, in a sense, I let God down a little bit, but I just want to keep going, so. Like I said on my show, I just want to be honest because I don't have it all together. Anybody that's listening, I'm still trying to figure it out as a believer. As a young man who's gone through, I would say, hell and back, who's gone through the fire, it's been challenging, but I'm still going to continue to trust God. Even when I make mistakes, I'm going to pick myself back up, and I'm going to go to God, and I'm going to keep trying. So, yeah, thank you. So anybody that knows my last season, Hurt People, Bitter and Broken, will be out March, I believe. I think it's the 23rd. But I have two amazing seasons out now, so I would love for you guys to check it out. Bitter and Broken on YouTube, so please check it out. And you can also check us on Facebook, Hurt People, Bitter and Broken, the series, and Instagram, Hurt People Series. Please, it would mean so much to me if you guys check out the web series. I spend a lot of time, energy, and resources in this, and I would love for you guys to check it out. All right. I'm grateful I got all that out the way. So I just want to welcome my bro, DeAndre, to the show. So welcome, DeAndre.
Hey, thanks for having me again, brother.
Yes, I'm really, really excited to have you. You know, this is my last show, so I just wanted to thank you again for coming on and everything like that. I just wanted to say, you know, like, I think it's important. You get what I'm saying? Like, the brotherhood, you know, and I definitely appreciate the relationship, and I just appreciate you as a person, and just everything that you're doing with your acting, and just, you know, you being a man of God. So I just want you to keep going, and I just want the brotherhood to continue to thrive, and so, you know, welcome.
Okay,
so what I wanted to do is try to pick up where we left off. And like I said, I'm probably a little all over the places because I just want, when I do my shows, bro, I want them to be authentic and I want them to be real. You know, I think for me, before I get into the questions, if anybody out there who felt like this, you know, when I was younger, I was different. I never fit in with people. I cared about people. I cared about what people thought about me. I liked the peace, you know, if I could make peace with people, I would. I didn't like having problems. And I think for me, when I was younger, I always tried to make everything was good. Like, I always had it together, you know. If I had problems, I never really showed it. I never really talked to people, you know. And now I'm realizing as I get older how important it is to be my authentic self. And not to try to put on a facade that I'm perfect. You get what I mean? And because I don't have it all together, and I will never have it all together. But I know somebody that does have it all together, which is God. And I think that for people who don't know God, sometimes they could look at the church and they could look at people and think that people are perfect. And it could discourage people and not wanting to come to God. But I always say the church is for the broken. It's for the addict. It's for the prostitute. It's for the drunk nurse. It's for the homosexual. It's for everybody. It's, you know, it's not a black or white thing. Jesus is for everybody. So I just feel like for me, like I said, when I was coming on to this show, I felt every emotion today. And I was just like, all right, I could get on this show and just act like everything is okay. Nobody would know. But then I also feel like, no, be honest, because I don't want to be on this show and act like everything is always great, you know? Like, I don't want to, because I feel like if I'm going to be on here and talking about the goodness of God or how God is good, I also want to talk about, you know what, guys, I actually had to try and last 2 months with this job. You get what I mean? And like I said, the decision I make might not be for everybody, but I did decide to take a step back and just refocus on some things. And I decided to do that. So, like, that's just how I felt. Have you ever felt like, DeAndre, I don't know, like, in your life where you felt like you might have thought it was God, and then you had to take a step back at a situation? Maybe it's something you prayed for. Maybe it's something that you really, really wanted bad, and you was like, no, God is in this, only to find out that maybe you made a wrong choice, or maybe you wasn't really sure if God was in it or you heard him correctly. Have you ever been in a situation like that before?
Yes, every time. A lot, actually. And that's where one of my favorite verses always come in, you know, beloved, don't believe at the Spirit, but test the Spirit to see if it's from God, you know. And also when it speaks about, like, every good and perfect gift comes from above, you know, we have a Heavenly Father that does care for us a lot, even for our, you know, mundane human life, you know. And a lot of times, you know, when it comes, I used to be so, like, wrapped up and like, yes, this is exactly what I wanted, but then forget the fundamental of seeing if it's truly from him, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, I definitely walked down that before a lot, actually.
And I think that's why, like I said, it's just so important to align yourself back to God. And also other people. And I would say for anybody who's made a mistake, like I've made mistakes, don't beat yourself down, you know. Of course, you know, if you're wrong, repent, absolutely, but don't beat yourself down, because like I said, I don't think there's any love in that, you know, breaking yourself down, feeling worthless. I don't think that's the objective. I don't think that God wants you to beat yourself down. So as I'm talking to you guys, I'm speaking to myself. Like I said, it really affected me. Even now, like I said, I'm still dealing with it. I got to go back to work. I struggled because I felt like I had let the kids down. When all actuality, I'm still going to be in the classroom, still going to be helping, still doing a lot of stuff. But I realized sometimes you have to take care of you. And sometimes with taking care of you, you know, it's just what you have to do. And I'm the type of person, I try to make sure everybody else is good before I take care of myself. So I'm hoping that in this new year, that I have balance. That, of course, I want to be selfless and I want to help. But then I also have those moments of balance where I say, okay, Richard, you know, if you don't take care of yourself, you're not even going to be here. You're not going to be around to help anybody. So I'm praying, bro, for balance in this new year, for the rest of my life, balance, you know, and learning the word no, when to say no, and knowing when to also be patient and to wait on God. How important is self-love to you?
Self-love is very important. That's not something that, when I was listening to you, when you said sometimes, you know, you could feel worthless and all of these things, you can't. When I get like that sometimes, because, I mean, I do get like that too, I can't rest in that, you know. That's nothing but a liar. That's not how God sees us. And, if, you know, he's the final authority. There isn't above him. So if he feels what he feels about us, we don't have that right to, you know, place our feelings over how he sees us. You know what I'm saying? So it's like when we're beating ourselves up, when we're going through all of these things, you know, it's just like I have to ask myself why I truly feel this way, you know?
Absolutely. And you know what's so crazy? Like, I was just thinking, like, I feel like I lost my train of thought. But I remember my cousin was telling me today, she was like, Little, that's my nickname, y'all. She's like, Little. she was like, but God already knew what was going to happen. Like, even though I said, God, I'm going to do this for you, I'm going to do it. She was like, God already knew how everything was going, you know, was going to plan out. He already knew, you know, so it did give me comfort in knowing that God already knew, like, I was going to jump ship, you know, and I'm just so grateful for his grace because I don't deserve it. And this morning, I was just thinking about a lot of times we're asking God for this and that, and I remember in the scripture, where Paul is, like, asking God to remove these thorns from him. And God is like, basically, no, like, my grace is sufficient. And it just made me realize, like, instead of asking God to do this and that, how about I ask God for his grace to endure whatever it is that he's taking me through? You get what I mean? Because It's the description of the Bible in Psalms 23. Everybody reads it. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I should fear no evil, for thou art with me. But when you're going through the valley of the shadow of death, you have to understand that God is with you. And sometimes when you're going through that valley of the shadow of death, you feel like, yo, I'm about to die. You feel like I can't do this. You feel like you want to quit and you want to give up. And you have to remember, you know, that God is with you. You get what I mean? And I, so many times, as a person who knows the word, when you're going through the fire, it can be challenging and it's hard. So I recognize that's why I have to keep my mind on God. That's why I got to meditate. That's why it makes me realize, all right, I've been disconnected. I've been too much on social media, or I've been too much, my mind on working, or, you know, worrying about what's going on in my life, and I'm not connected to God. Because you got to remember his promises. And I said this the other day, like, you have to trust God when you can't trace him. Because sometimes you're going to be like, God, like, where's you at? Like, you know, because I was saying this yesterday at church, like, God, you know what these people doing to your son. Like, you know what they doing it to your boy. Like, they doing your boy dirty. Like, where's you at, you know? But even in those moments, it's like, you know, I got to trust him when I can't trace him. You know, and he's really, like I said, he's been stretching me, and we just got to keep going and keep trusting him. Do you feel like, so let's get into some of your acting and stuff. Like, you know how some people are, they have different techniques, right? Some people, wow. I remember the singer Brandy, she was talking about her acting roles, like she don't talk to anybody before she go on, you know, get into character and go on to set. Like, do you have any of those things, or do you just kind of, like, jump into character? Like, you just know how to jump in, or do you have any, like, remedies or anything like that?
So with me, it's like I put myself in that character automatically. You know, even when I'm off set, I still stay within that character, you know. I know what pretty much this helps me is, like, just creating a whole backstory to try to understand why the person, because that's what it comes with the creativity, is that when you see the script, you know, it's handed to you, and, you know, you have to turn a blank person on a piece of paper to a real-life person that someone loved, or, you know, or if they're supposed to be someone that just antagonizes people through the series, you got to bring that person to life. So a lot of times you got to make that person relatable and sellable. So a lot of times, I would stay in that state of just simply just, okay, I'm going to, what's the word I'm looking for? You know, stay in this character state even when I'm not filming, you know, even when I just show up the set, you know, to get that natural flow.
Yeah, that's amazing. All right, DeAndre, just hold on tight. Track next by DJ Legend, Brother O.
So put aside all your worries and cares. Let me tell you like this. Let me
Shout out Big Brother Brian from Mr. Talk Box Chambers. All right, brother, brought to you by Hall of Fame disc jockey, Brother L. Thank you so much. So, bro, you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
All right. So I wanted to know, you might have answered this before or whatever, about the acting. Like, what is one of your dream roles? Like, is it something that we've seen before? Is it something that you personally want to create? Is it something that you, you know, a production that you want to be a part of? Like, what is your dream world? And I also want you, I know you probably can't talk about it, but I just love the idea that you were telling me about, I think, about earlier this year, but I know you got to still work that out, so maybe we won't talk about that. But what is one of your dream roles?
I would say, my inner child must say. Dream role doesn't by all means. Whatever. Typically any Marvel movie, but I don't know. We'll play that out. But that's just the inner child in me. But what's really important, though, is just, you know, when it comes to this whole walk and all, you know, everything is a tool. Everything we use is a tool. And that's how acting really is for me. Is a tool to use to really show what's truly there. And what's truly there is the Lord. So my dream role would just be, honestly, faith-based films, a role that can really impact the world where people can be like, wow, I felt every part of that character's real-life testimony, but through a fictional character, through a screen. You get what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
and they're
yeah.
showing how Christ can truly hit their heart. That's a dream role for me. You know, something
yeah.
that's way more meaningful for someone to, you know, because it's like when you do these movies and you submit them to film festivals and if they get brought out to be put on, like, streaming platforms like Netflix, Hulu, or whatever, my dream is to be, for someone to see me out and be like, dude, I seen your movie, it was so impactful, and I gave my life to Christ because of it. That would be something that would hit me way more better than any Grammy or anything.
Or Oscar. Yeah, I think for me too, like, I miss acting. I haven't acted in probably over 2 years. And even though I've been working on this project, it's me edit, you know, getting with the editor and editing. So I haven't actually been in front of a camera, you know, it's so long, and I miss it. Like, I just feel like so, like a part of me is gone, you know? Like, I really pray next year, you know, hopefully I can get back into it. But I miss it so much, just being able to be an artist and working with other people. And I just miss it. So I'm definitely hoping to jump into something next year, I hope. So if there was somebody that wanted to get into the business, like, what type of advice would you give them?
What I would just say is just walk in, man, and, you know, hop in there. It is entrepreneurship. You don't need to, don't fall in the trap of, I have to go to school and get degrees. No. I mean, it's fine. That's cool, you know, but just know, that's not going to guarantee you any role. Look at the greats who blew up with none of these degrees, where some people genuinely just had it in them, and that doesn't need to be sculpted or anything. I would just say when it comes to it, you know, just hop in there. When it comes to it, when you hear no, because that's something that you're going to hear on a lot of the callbacks, that they go in another direction, every no is still good because these are people that, even though they didn't choose you, that make this their life career, that sat in front of the greatest actors that we love ourselves and still took the time out their day to still potentially choose you for a role because they saw it in you, even though you didn't get it. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, even when you get out there, don't let the no's discourage you.
Wow, I love that. So we got a caller, all right? So caller one, who are you and where are you calling from?
Hello, this is Tiana Speaks, and I'm calling from Jersey. How are you today?
Yes, Jersey in the building. Yes.
Yes.
I'm from Jersey, so listen, I don't really hear too many people calling from Jersey, so whenever I hear Jersey, I just got a little excited.
I was excited when I found out you were from Jersey, too, when I heard you.
Yeah. What part of Jersey are you from?
A.C.
A.C. I live in Burlington.
Yeah, so you're not that far from me, you know.
I never really pressed
one too early because I like to hear the show. And, you know, in case there's something else I want to stay in touch on. But I had to press one. I pressed one from the very beginning, right? And I'm going to tell you why. I was listening to you talk and how you felt bad about, you know, not basically doing the job that you wanted to do. And there's something else you said, too, and it was about overthinking. I want to touch on both of those things, you know. The first thing I want to say is, in life, you never be disappointed in something that you didn't get, you know. And at the time, your time is your time whenever it is your time, no matter what it is, whether it's something you wanted or something you weren't afforded a certain opportunity, because God's going to place you in the places that you're supposed to be when you're supposed to be, you know. And maybe now is not your time. It may be something you need to learn or something that you need to grasp before you're put in that position. Or maybe, you know, there's a higher position that be waiting for you later on, you know. So never feel bad about, you know, things in life that you're not placed in. Not even say, like, you know, I had a family member that was speaking of an extension of the family in another country. And they were saying, oh, yeah, she got fired from her job. And I'm like, okay, I'm like, so it's not that I'm not empathetic towards that, but I don't look at being fired like other people do. You know what I mean? In my life, I've only been fired one time, and that was because I used to sell cars. And it was for so they can meet their quota, you know, for certain individuals that they hire. And that person ended up in jail. But the thing is, I got fired because I was honest. I was not going to sell a car to someone who couldn't afford it. You know, and I had to go to sleep at night for that, you know, and I was very hardworking, you know, and I look at it like when you get fired or something doesn't go your way, that means there's a better opportunity around the corner. As long as you know what you're doing and your life is right, at the end of the day, that's a release, you know. And sometimes people maybe not be able to find a job, or they get let go of a job because their purpose is greater than what they're doing at the moment. And the moment is for you. You never know if your purpose is even greater than what you think it is. You know what I mean? Only God has that key. You know, so I say, like, even if somebody loses their job, you know, you never know. They might be, sometimes I feel like certain people, and this may not be applicable to every single person, but I feel like people who lose their job might be, you know, made to be entrepreneurs. You know what I mean? So at the end of the day, they might be way more successful working for themselves than someone else. So at any time that, like, at the end of the day, if you know you're great and someone lets you go, that is not something that you take in your shoulders. I will be happy to leave any situation because I know who I am and I know who God made me. And I hope you know that too, what God made you and how powerful you are. And the second thing I want to touch on is you said something about overthinking. You know, so I don't know if you know this, the last time I spoke to you, you know, I wasn't an intern host. I am now, you know, so I have my own show, and my show will be on December 29th, and it's part two. My part one was about, well, it's still the same thing, but The topic is truth, pain, validation, and manipulation. So with those things I want to speak to you about, truth, it comes to what we think and everything that we thought up until this very moment in our life, whether we thought we were good enough for something, is why we're at where we're at right now. And a lot of people don't know, but there's such a thing called catastrophic thinking. And that's the thinking that basically hinders us, because we're always thinking too much. And I can't say that I've done it myself, you know. Let's say you have a particular friend that calls you at 5 o'clock every day, and all of a sudden they'll call you, and you're like, oh, my God, something's wrong. Oh, my God, they probably got an accident. Oh, my God, they did it. And you start, that's catastrophic thinking, you know, and we got to stop that. Because only at the end of the day, no matter what happens, we are not in control of that. You know what I mean? And I have a family member that does it to me all the time. Sometimes we put that burden of our thinking on someone else. So at the end of the day, like, I just want to say this, so hopefully somebody's listening. You can look it up, catastrophic thinking, and it may change your life if you see what you're doing and how you spiral out of control, and you take that energy and you put it on someone else, or you put it in, you know, in your own life. So for you, I would say, don't overthink what's going on in your life. Embrace it and figure out what you can do better, and know that, like, if you're made to be whatever it is that you're made to be, a teacher at any point of time, you know, it's not about what we want, it's what we were placed on this earth to do and carry out, you know, his vision. So you might have a certain vision and you might feel like it's from God, but then it's like taken away from you, and then you feel like you failed, right? But at the end of the day, that might have been at that time, but something could have changed, and it could be protecting you and giving you something greater later on. You know, I remember my very first job was McDonald's, and I was absolutely overused. They had me doing everything, and my manager was lazy. So one day I just walked out, and I could not have done anything better. I developed my customer service skills from there that I can utilize to this very day. But at the end of the day, the people that I left are still there. So I hope that I provided some encouragement for you to know, not only you, but anybody listening tonight. And I hope that you are able to realize whatever your position is in this life, it will be no matter what. There's nothing you can do to change that. All you can do is walk your life and walk the way you're supposed to walk. And hopefully I've helped you with that.
Thank you so, so much. I think the thing was for me was I had decided to, you know, downgrade myself. You know, like I sent the email and I was just like, yeah, nah, I can't. You know what I mean? But then in that decision-making, I started questioning, like, but I know, God, I told you I was going to do it to the end, even though I was feeling just like I was being, you know, just overutilized, burnt out. You know, so it was a lot, but I thank you so much. You get what I'm saying? Like, everything that you said was definitely on point. I appreciate it. I appreciate every time you, you know, call in. I feel like maybe I need to be on one of your shows. You need to come on one of my shows. You get what I'm saying? And we need to make this happen.
Sure.
You know, I think it could definitely be powerful. So I don't know. Maybe I could find you on Facebook. What's your Facebook?
Yes, you can. It's Tiana Speaks. It's easier if you just find me on Instagram, Speaks Radio, and then I can give you the rest of the information. But it's Tiana Speaks. And my next show is December 29th at 9:30 Eastern Standard Time. Please tune in, you know, because I know I'll be sharing some valuable things. And the one thing I want to say to you before I go is, if you're not sure about it, don't ever do anything when your foot is halfway in, because that's not fair to the individuals involved. Don't put your foot in when it's only warm. If you're sure, you know what I mean? You got to go at your best thought for everything you do. You know what I mean? Everything you do. And if you're not sure, you ask God to give you the strength to be able to get through and endure whatever it is that you think you can't do. You know, because we're very powerful. We're way more powerful than we think. So, you know, just pray about it.
Yes.
And for the
take us to church. Yes, yes, yes. Yeah, we definitely going to do it. Yeah, listen. God is good. Thank you so much. I appreciate you. Thank you. Track next by international internet DJ legend Brother O.
Let's take a trip, y'all. Here we go.
Let me take you back. Come on. Everybody, I want to tell you, I'm about to lose control. Let it go.
Okay, y'all, that's enough. Thank y'all for watching. Peace.
All right, you guys, and we are back. So, Jay, I want to know, like, where do you, like, when you feel just like, I don't know, if you, when you don't feel your best, like, what are your go-tos? You know what I mean? Like, either you maybe had a bad day, had a bad week, maybe you didn't get the role that you wanted, maybe you just want to shut everybody out. Like, what do you do when you just, you know, you just feel, like, defeated?
You know, when I get that feeling, just simply defeat, I just try to just always rest in the fact of just that, you know, who I am in his eyes, who I am in his kingdom, you know? Because it'll happen. One sister actually reached out to me because it was put on her heart to share something with me, and that's how it is. God already knows what you're going through, and the very thing that she shared to me was another believer sharing something about the entertainment industry, you know, and it was, like, very encouraging, and it's always just those simple God links of, like, hey, I kind of caught you that you was about to feel this way, or you have been feeling this way, and it's okay, you know, and that's just what I always just try to rest in, you know. I never really try to stay in that state. It's okay. We have feelings. I acknowledge the way I feel sometimes, but at the same time, I won't stay in that, you know, because if I stay in that, I'm going to let that hold me back. So I always stay in what he says, who I am.
Cool. Wow. All right. So we got to call it too. Who are you and where are you calling from?
Hey, sweetie. It's Jerry Petito. How are you?
Hi, Jerry. How are you?
I'm okay. You know, I want to say hello to you, of course. I love you. And I want to say hello to your guest. Hello. How are you, sweetie?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good. I love what you just said to this young man. Okay?
Thank you.
I love it. You know, he'll tell you privately, you know, how we met and all that and everything. And it was a God moment, you know? And,
mm-hmm.
you know, I have found out, because I'm a lot older than both of you, but I have found out over the years that when we feel like we need to talk to someone or we need encouragement, right, when we call someone, it also uplifts them.
Mm.
It's like God knows. I'm not kidding you. Like, look what you did that night. You reached out to me in the middle of the night. We didn't even know each other. Do you know what that did to me? Amazing, right?
Wow.
So God puts people in our lives at the exact moment we need them to be. And
yeah.
I still to this day will say things like, really? Did that just happen? God, was that you? And I'm surprised. And then I laugh and I say, what are you surprised at, Jer? This has been happening most of your life since you committed yourself to God. He's got our backs. You know what I mean? No matter what, to the point of, even if we end up taking our last breath, we know we're going to meet him.
Yes.
So God's got our backs, and I just love you.
Wow, that is so encouraging. Thank you so much, Jerry. I love that. Like, you know, like, I love that because I rejoice in the day to meet my creator and be like, God, what took you so long to come get me? You get what I mean? Like, you know I'm going through all this stuff, you know, but I know that day is going to be so worth it and all of the things that we've gone through. I always have in my mind, like, one day when we stand before God on Judgment Day, he just shows us, like, I don't know, I imagine like a flat screen or something, right? He shows us all the time. Like, he just flashed for our life. He shows us all the time when we were down and out and we felt like giving up, when we were crying because we lost somebody, and he was right there to, like, wipe our tears, you know? Like, we couldn't see him, but in the spirit now, like, we see, like, wow, God was there the whole time and we didn't even know, you know? So
the whole time.
I want to
say hello to Tiana Speaks as well, because I know her personally as well. We've gotten to meet several times. I love this girl. and this young woman is going to do amazing things on this network. And I just am so proud of her as well. So,
yeah,
but your guest is beautiful. Your guest is beautiful.
No, thank you, Jerry, so much. Thank you so much. You're definitely uplifting.
God bless you both.
Definitely uplifting me. Thank you.
I love you.
I agree with what Jerry said, though, because it's like at the end of the day, like, I've had that happen to me. It's like when you're trying to encourage somebody else, and then it's just like you also feel encouraged. You also feel empowered. So I definitely have a lot of those moments, and I think that's why it's important to be in right relationships with people, because iron sharpens iron. So what does success look like for you? Like, you know, for some people, you know, it's like, I want to be get on the Beyonce level, the Jay-Z level. Like, that's success to them. So that's their standard. Some people look at them as the standard. You know, I don't look at Jay-Z and Beyonce as the standard. You know, God is the standard. Jesus Christ is the standard. But some people look at these celebrities and they think they are the standard, like, of success or just life in general. What does success look like to you?
Hold on, guys. Hold on, guys. You know, I want you guys to stop moving, okay? Whatever's going on in the background, stop that, okay? Because we're trying to be, you know, professional in this network, so stop moving so we can hear the rest of the show. Thank you.
Yeah.
So,
can you hear me?
Yeah, you can hear me. So, yeah, what does success look like for you?
So, success for me is, well, for starters, it's just like, once you've already been accepted into his kingdom, you already placed your faith into him, at that moment, I already feel successful. At that point, it's just continuing on, you know, enduring to the end, hearing those famous words, you know, well done, good and faithful servant. Nothing this world can offer can ever triumph over that. Hearing well done from the creator of all, that's what success is to me.
Oh, I love that. I love that. I love that. Wow, that's really, really good. So what does the next couple of years look like for you? Like, where do you see yourself in the next couple of years?
The next couple of years, man, jeez. Just, you know, still putting this foundation, a real strong, firm foundation of what I'm trying to steward, you know, because I'm not the owner of it. This was put on my heart with the faith-based films and things to write and other stuff like that. So it's just stewarding that to get that out and running all in his perfect timing, though. And then just also just, you know, being that brighter light in the world, you know.
Yeah. That's real. That is so real. How important do you feel like is self-isolation? Like, how important do you think that is just in general? Like, is that something you do, kind of withdraw yourself, reset yourself? Like, how important is that for you? Is that something that you may do?
So self-isolation, that's actually something I actually refrain from. That's where being alone with my personal thoughts, let alone being alone with my personal thoughts with the enemy around, roaring like a roaring lion, that's something that I just really try to refrain from. So I always try to stay within a circle of encouraging, with an encouraging family, you know. With encouraging friends, with encouraging spiritual brothers, mothers, and sisters, and brothers, you know, I always try to stay within that to always keep me in that constant state of, you know, one, seeking first the kingdom, and then two, never really forsaking the gifts that was given, you know, because he is the master craftsman. We are the clay, so everything we have is because of him. So always try to stay in that constant state and don't leave it, you know, and that's where I see myself, me personally, that's where I always see myself prospering from.
Wow, that's amazing. That is so amazing. Do you you know, last time we were talking about the whole Jehovah Witness thing or whatever, do you have any regrets from that experience, or do you accept everything for what it is?
I actually thank it all. I was made for a time like this. When I went back and I just sit back and think about all of that, of everything I went through, seeing that, and I used to ask myself, like, God, why in the world did you let me go through that? You know, and I see it because I saw it on the other side before I even had the Holy Spirit within me, before I even seen it. So I actually see from the inside multiple years, over a decade worth, of what does, you know, false religion look like from the inside. So from outside, some people may not see it, but for me being in it, it sticks out super clearly. I'm like, whoa, that's false. I know how it orchestrates. I know how it's seen. I know how it's done. You know, I see how way subtle it can be just to take your eyes from off of Christ and how it's very subtle with its lies, you know. So I do think that it made me really – I was deprived natural affection and natural love for the longest time, even from my personal family, in my intermediate family. That's what I mean. So my intermediate family, they're even are part of it, like I stated before. And it was like once I got saved and I met my brothers and sisters in Christ, when I experienced that, you know, that true love, when I experienced that godly love with them, it made me lean on it. Because the very thing I was deprived from in life, I could only get from with him. You know, so it really made me cling to him even tighter because I went through all of that.
Right, and I was just about to say, too, like, because of, I think you said your mom and, you know, your dad really not being there as much as you would like, or not really, you know, a lot, I was going to say, like, what does family look like now to you, being that you're not actually, I think you said you talked to your brother, right?
Yeah, I talked to my brother somewhat.
Okay, so the mom and dad is a little fickle. So, like, what, being that you don't have your mom and your dad in your life like you would like to because of the Jehovah's Witness religion, what does family look like for you now? Like, has family, is it redefined for you? Is it changed, the idea of what family is for you?
Yeah, absolutely. The ones we share blood with, I mean, we like to toss the word family onto it, and that could be further from the truth. Like that saying, you know, blood is thicker than water, but I can't agree with that because it's through water we're baptized into the kingdom of the Son that he loves after we put our faith into him. So water brought us into that kingdom through that baptism, through that faith, and when it comes to that, that's an eternal family that we can't get rid of, that you know, glorifies the Father. We're on the same side. You know, God forbid, if any one of us pass today, we're in the kingdom. Who knows? I don't know how many people are up there, you know. But, yeah, you know, these are people who are on your side eternally, you know, not that's just on your side and then soon as, you know, you had a family and y'all don't get along. They don't want to deal with you anymore, you know.
Right.
Family's been changed to the point of scripturally, you know.
That is so true. Wow. That's amazing. So how did, like, as far as, so we talked about the actor, we talked about the, you know, just family and everything like that, like, as far as, are you the type of, I would say, guy, like, you know how some people have their life set up, like, I want the kids, I want the picket fence and the marriage, you know, all of that type of stuff. Like, do you have children? Do you desire to have children? Do you desire to be married? Like, do you feel like all that is possible? Or is there something later on that you want? Or is it, that's not what you want right now at all?
I would say what God thinks I want right now, that's what I would say. He knows me way more better than me. But me personally right now, nah. Future-wise, we'll see. I'm not opposed to it whatsoever. So, I mean, yeah.
I was in church yesterday, and I was just sharing, like, how sometimes society put these social constructs on you, like, all right, by 30 or by this age, you need to do this and you need to do that. And I remember my mom coming up to me, like, am I going to ever have a grand, like, you going to give me a grandchild, you get what I'm saying? And it's just like, why do everybody feel like everybody has to be on the same wave? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And I even think in my younger years, you know, I think when I was like in my early 20s, I almost had a kid. And I feel like society sometimes put these expectations on you, you know, like at a certain age, you need to be married. At a certain age, you need to have kids. At a certain age, you need to, you know, you got to go to school and get a four-year degree. And definitely go get that degree, you know. But I say... And sometimes you live your life in this bubble and you're living for people. And I just think that, I don't think people should live their life based on what society says. You get what I mean?
No,
because
absolutely.
I feel like personally, you know, when that I meet that right person and if I was to get married, then that's how I would want to have children. But I don't think that people should have kids because of a need, you know? Like, some people might feel like, well, maybe they feel lonely or they feel incomplete in their life, you know? So I just feel like at the end of the day, that should be a decision that, you know, should be made with, you know, as a person, if that person decides they want to do it. I personally feel like people should be married, but I know everybody's not going to do that. But, yeah, I just feel like, you know, if that happens, it's going to happen, but I shouldn't feel like that, oh, you reach a certain age, then you need to be married or you need to just have kids just because. You get what I mean?
Right.
So we have somebody in queue. So caller 3, who are you and where are you calling from?
Yo. This is Clever One, one half of the Booze Brothers, representing from the Broad Street Bully side of Philadelphia, where we slap box on your cousins at the cookout for wearing too small clothes out here. What's going on out here? This Clever One listening in, and this is what I got to say about these things, because we all have to hold each other up on these issues here out here. You understand what I'm saying? Because check this out. We got to stay away from the darkness here. We have to understand that some of these lifestyles that we choose to live, they come with curses upon them. You know what I'm saying? Where if I want to be a killer, guess what? I'm always going to be ducking from the darkness of the bullets. Imaginary ones, the big ones, small ones, all types of ones, where instead of just me not being a killer anymore, you know what I'm saying, it's haunting me. It's haunting me. So when it's haunting me, I got to find somewhere for rescue. You know what I mean? And where do I turn for rescue? Can't turn nowhere for rescue. You want to know why? Because can't nobody relate to what I'm on. Can't nobody relate to what I'm going through. You know what I'm saying? So the only way that I can face this music here is to turn to the face of my Lord. You understand? With obedience. Mm-hmm. And when the obedience that it comes with is things that's prescribed for us. And when is it when? And the things that's prescribed for us, meaning this, we know that this ain't what we're supposed to be on over here, but we're doing it anyway. You know what I'm saying? But we're trying to figure out a way to get away with it and live with it, but we know we ain't supposed to be doing that. You know what I'm saying? So here we do. We're putting ourselves on a seesaw here. So that's what we do. We got to understand the root stem to these situations here so that we can pump ourselves up. Because we can't people. Whatever darkness we fall into, we fell in that hole by ourselves. We didn't get kicked down there like on 300. We jumped in there. You know? So we don't want to do these things no more. Learn where the root stems are and know where they came from, because guess what? If you had a pimp on your ugly ass face, you're going to go get some Noxzema now, ain't you? So we know where the medicines are for these ailments, for these sicknesses, for these diseases. I'm going to call them that we have, because these are the things that place us in the darkness. You know what I'm saying? I'm Clever One, one half of the Booze Brothers, representing from the Broad Street Bully side of Philadelphia. Yo, where we take it on the chin a little bit better when we got beards on our face. Check your satellite.
All right, up next, track next by DJ Legend, Brother L.
To your first parade, and how you saw that glorious marching band coming down the street. Well, try to imagine with me, if you will, that you were the first to see the band coming down the way, growing bigger and bigger, and your heart pounding harder and harder. It always seemed to me that my heart was in perfect time with the big bass drum. Can you remember how you got that go to glory feeling? Feeling in your heart and in your mind and in your blood that some folks call religion. There are multitudes of people crying because they just won't try to understand. From the book I read, not one but all must follow him. Come and join the magnificent sanctuary band. There are multitudes, people dying. Seem like temptation rules over the land. You know those people should remember his commandment. Come and join the magnificent sanctuary band. Singing in a band, talking to the man, bringing in the sheep all over the world as fast as they can. Singing in a band, talking to the man, drop everything you're doing and join the sanctuary band. The Son of Man speaks a revelation. Oh, he's reaching out his hand. He has promised to bring us all salvation. Come and join the magnificent sanctuary band. Singing in a band, talking to the man. Bringing in the sheep all over the world, fast as they can.
So Dre, I want to know that as far as with this acting and everything like that, if you couldn't do it anymore, would you be content with it, or is it something that you're like, no, I need to do this?
I would be content with it because there's multiple other things that I was gifted into doing.
But in my specific calling, this is just what I was just called to do. You know, I stick out very gently and firm with it, you know, with the creativity, with how I can just naturally and just jump into the different roles, the different characters. You know, I'll be bummed out, definitely, but, you know, bro, hey, the Lord tells me to part and leave from it. I'm going to leave faster before he can probably finish the sentence.
And how do you know that you, like, how do you know that you're called to do this?
It's like every time I get pulled through, every time I try to pull myself away from it, like when I get discouraged and not to there, and I just question it, it's just always those, you know, those God ways. Just like I even just shared a little bit earlier, sister in Royal City, you know, she reached out, and, it, you know, in a very personal way I was feeling, the video and what she had shared with me that was put on her heart was exactly how I was feeling. And it is always those winks, you know, of no, you know, stand firm, you know, with it and just, you know, don't leave from it. But, you know.
Mhm. Definitely. Wow, that's super duper cool. Do you feel like you have any fears? Like, are you afraid to fail? Like, what are your fears?
I don't say I really have any fears to fail. My only fears that would just be being distracted. You know, like I said, everything that we have is just a tool. We don't serve the tools, we serve the Lord. My only fear is that I will ever get distracted and serve the tool rather than him, you know?
Yeah, that's good. That's so good, because I feel like I used to feel like that too. Like, I felt like I was so focused on the acting and the projects and stuff. Sometimes I feel like I was focused on more than that, than the actual creator who gave me, you know, the gift to use it. And I think that's important for us to, you know, refocus and know what's important. So I definitely get it. Sometimes that could be very hard when you're chasing your dreams, you know, like you want to make sure God is number one. For those that want to live for God, you want to make sure that you have balance, you know, you want to make sure whatever it is that you're doing that, you know, that God is number one and that that thing is not over God, you know? So I definitely understand. That's why I said I need balance. Like, I always say that, like, in my life, I definitely want balance. Like, it's just really, really important to have that. Do you feel like you have balance in your life? And if so, how did you get there? If not, what do you feel like you need to do to get there?
So the balance, it's a struggle. So sometimes I really do have that balance, and then other times I don't. And sometimes I just get distracted. Like I said, distracted. I always just try to stay in that constant state, you know, of just remembering that it's a tool to really try to keep that balance. You know, you get taken off that balance if you just simply just take your eyes from off of it.
Yeah, you know what's so crazy? Like, I had a moment, and I know, like, we're coming to the end of the show. I wish I would have got a chance to talk about it earlier. Do you ever just sit back and just realize, like, how blessed you are? And the reason and how being grateful to be alive. As a black man, I had an opportunity this past weekend to actually see a cousin of mine incarcerated. And I haven't been to a jail. And last time I went to a jail was actually going to see my brother, the one that had passed away. And when I went to the jail, I remember just like going to the bathroom, and I'm just like, wow, like people got to actually live in this. And I remember my cousin telling me, you know, you ain't got to come wait until I get to the, you know, halfway house or whatever. And then I remember, like, I was the last one going into the doors after they locked it. And I felt like my cousin was looking like, who came to see me? Because I often feel like sometimes people that's incarcerated, they're forgotten about. And when I got there, I just see my cousin lit up. Now, this is a cousin of mine, Jay, that we grew up real close like brothers. But as we got older, we kind of separated because he went more to the streets and I kind of went my way. And I had told him, you know, something that I wish I would have told my brother. And I don't know why I was saying it, but all I did say to him was, I was like, I need you, you know. And I said that because I wanted him to know, like, that I needed him to make a decision that he wanted to live, and that where he is, it doesn't define, like, who he's going to be. And I wanted to encourage him, and I didn't want to talk down to him. I wanted to support him. I wanted to let him know, like, listen, like, I'm here. And it was so crazy because it's been it's been time. And I got so caught up in my life, bro, where I don't want to say I forgot about him, but it just wasn't a priority. So I want to say to anybody, like, it's, you know, and I feel like sometimes God or just me and my mom, I think about it because sometimes I talk about the struggle in black men, but it's just all men, you know, not just black men that may be incarcerated, you know, and they may feel like hope is lost. It's not. And to keep praying. And I just want to just send so much love to anybody that's incarcerated because it made me realize when I was talking to my cousin, like, I could make one bad decision and end up where you are, you know? And I couldn't imagine being in them type of situations because you are forgotten about. You get what I mean? Because people are going to live their life and move on. Yeah, people may come sometimes and write you and send you money, but you have to deal with that day to day by yourself. So I just want to tell anybody, you know, that's incarcerated to keep your head up. And use that time to reset your life and hopefully, you know, to do better, you know, and that you don't have to, that you can decide tomorrow that you want to change and that you could do better. So it just opened up my eyes. I know Chinchilla, you know, the commissioner of the network, you know, I know she does the, you know, the, I think she talked to people and she talked about incarceration. And, you know, I left that place, leaving that jail the other day, and I felt real inspired. Like, I was so grateful that I went to go see my cousin because I just see him light up because I don't know the last time somebody came and saw him. And he told me not to come, but I still came. And I just felt like he felt like, dang, like somebody cared about me. You get what I mean? So if you got anybody that's listening, you got any family that's incarcerated, just try to make it your business, you know, to go see them and love on them because at the end of the day, you know, kill choose your family, but we got to be there for one another. So so I have my final thoughts, you know. So I want to say, Jay, can you tell anybody, like, your social media, if anybody wanted to reach out to you? Can you also tell them, if you want to, like, what do you have next that you could talk about?
So next, well, so first I'm going to do like this. So next what I have coming up is just New York Fashion Week. I have a couple of magazine shoots. So I'm pretty much just preparing for that. And a photo shoot this weekend. I mean, even with the photo shoot, that's just going to be a tool that I'm going to use to center Christ forefront. You know, it's a lot of talent within inside of the Christian apparel, you know, junior or whatever you want to call it. There's a lot of talent within there. So when in any magazine shoots that's going to be coming up, that's what you're going to pretty much see me wearing inside of it, also supporting my brothers and sisters and also pointing even through clothing to the Lord, you know. So that's that. I am also working on a boxing film, so that's going to be fun. The holiday time, I've been eating all the fun stuff, but I can't really eat all the fun stuff like I genuinely want. And then also, social media wise, so if anyone ever wanted to reach out to me, definitely reach out to me on, you know, I do have an Instagram, which is just my first and last name, which is just underscore, and it's DeAndre, and then last name Wallace. But before any of that, you know, if you ever wanted a community of brothers and sisters of encouragement, whatever, definitely reach out to us at Royal City Church. That's the Instagram page. We also have an online community and a Slack channel where you can come, get fed, meet brothers and sisters worldwide, and truly get fed and meet your Heavenly Kingdom family.
Wow, that is super cool. Love it, love it, love it. All right, everybody, it's Ngozi time.
What a beautiful, beautiful show tonight, Ricardo and your guest, DeAndre. Beautiful show. And Brother O, the music was awesome. And everybody, that was the O'Neill Twins. And ironically, that song you just heard was Brother O's mother's and his father's favorite all-time gospel song. What a beautiful song. Not so glad I found the Lord. And I don't know about you all listening tonight, but I'm glad that I found the Lord. And, wow, hey, where would I be without God? And where would you be without God? And, Ricardo, you talked about your cousin being in prison, and you went to visit him, and how that felt for you and how it felt for your cousin. And yesterday on the show, on News Forum, which I host on Sunday nights, we talked about wrongful convictions. And a question was posed as to what should someone do, a family member do, to show that they support their loved one that's incarcerated? And I said, to visit them, to call them, to show your support, to encourage them, especially if they're wrongfully incarcerated. You definitely want to let them know that you believe that they're innocent, that you believe in them, and stand beside them, by them, and be a voice for them. And for those that are incarcerated for crimes that they did commit, although they committed crimes, they're still human beings, and they should not be forgotten, and they need phone calls, too, to stay encouraged, because there's so many people behind walls that think about committing suicide, and a lot do, and they go through things, and, you know, they feel all alone in there. So to pick up a pen, write a letter, call them. Well, you can't call them, but they can call you. So answer their phone calls, go and visit if you're close by. And that's what we need to do, because they're still a part of your family. No matter what they did, they're still human, and they still need love. And love can change people. Prayer can change things. So don't ever write anyone off, people. Don't do it, because guess what? You wouldn't want that done to you. WBNN has advertising through Ngozi Time Multimedia. We're on Pinterest, Instagram, and Twitter at Ngozi_time and Oladele Mulewe Ngozi at Facebook. Any comments and suggestions for our wonderful programming tonight, oladele.ngozi@my.com. For our mother's and father's favorite producer, Oladele Mulewe Ngozi, I am WBNN Commissioner Dr. Chinchilla J, saying good night and good luck to all the folks out there in Armed Forces Radio that support us on a constant basis. Stay tuned tomorrow night for our most sacred night, with all to honor the 5th annual ONE Honors. And that's tomorrow night, hosted by yours truly, the Honorable Dr. Chinchilla J. And that's me. Tomorrow night, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Or you can tune in at www.blogtalkradio.com. Now back to Ricardo Richard.
Oh, thank you, guys. I'm so blessed, so grateful. Anybody that's listening to my show, please, you guys, I need all the prayers, all the prayers. I also want to say, you know, I'm excited for the new year. This is my last show until January. I actually do 2 shows, I believe, in January. So I just, again, want to leave y'all with just trust God, and definitely make Jesus a priority in your life. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus, get a relationship with Jesus as soon as possible. And I love you guys, and I'm so grateful again for this opportunity. Again, you know, I'm just a young boy from, you know, the city of Trent, East Trenton to be exact, that just wanted to be used by God. You guys have a good day, a good night, and happy holidays to everybody, and be blessed. See you guys soon.
You're gonna make